We're going to be in the 39th chapter of Genesis tonight. Tonight, my message is about from the pit to the palace. God laid this message on my heart several months ago, and I played around with it a few times, but I guess now was the time to preach it. But before I get into the message, I want to admit something. That every time I've preached since last August, I felt like I failed. And I felt like a failure. But every time that I've preached, God's proved to me time and again with the messages and the support that I've gotten from Pastor and other Butch and other people around here that God honors the preaching of the cross. And God honors the preaching of the blood of Jesus. Tonight we're going to look at the life of Joseph. A lot of important lessons can be learned from the life of Joseph. First and foremost, the life of Joseph is the perfect picture of the Christian life. I could stand here and say that when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that it'd be all mountaintops from there on out. But everybody knows that that would be a lie. Many of the struggles and the trials that Joseph went through, we face in a different way in our very own lives. And like Joseph, we can say that the Lord was with us. Now, if we go to chapter 39 and pick up in verse 2, I only have one verse of scripture. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as I come before you tonight, God, I need you now, Father, that send your Holy Ghost, Father, and hide me behind the cross, Father. Cleanse me of my sins. Empty me of myself, Father, but fill me with your Spirit, God. And let me say the things that need to be said, but don't let me say the things that don't need to be said, Father. And God, you know my heart. I'll give you every ounce of honor and every ounce of glory and every ounce of praise for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we know that Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob, a son of his old age. And we know that Jacob loved Joseph more than all his other sons. So he gave him the coat of many colors. And because their father loved Joseph more than them, in the Bible it says in chapter 30, I think it's 37, that they couldn't talk to Joseph peaceably. Can I just say that jealousy will cause you to hate someone even though we know that it's wrong and not in line with what the Bible says. In 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I loved God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he hath loved not his brother, whom he hath seen. How can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. And to look at how the Lord was with Joseph, we got to go back to the very beginning here. And then we'll look at how jealousy will cause his brothers to sin. And we'll see how jealousy caused his brothers to hate him. And we'll see how sin will take you further and cost you more than you were willing to pay when you look at the case of Joseph's brothers and how far this sin was taken. Now, before we go any farther, I know a lot of people call these stories in the Old Testament or the story of Jesus or the story of this. I don't call them stories. I call them accounts because I believe what's written in the Bible really happened, and I believe it's an actual account of the life of Joseph. I think it was Matthew Henry that said that when his brothers took the flock to Shechem, that was all part of the conspiracy to do harm to Joseph. They took him that far away. And we know about Joseph's dreams that happened before that. He dreamed two dreams. And Joseph's dreams basically, now I'm paraphrasing here, were that he would rule over them or have dominion over them because of it. And then he dreamed that second dream, and Jacob rebuked him, saying, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brother bow down to thee?" This made his brothers envy him even more. The Bible said that Jacob observed these sayings after he explained his second dream. Envy and jealousy will cause the feelings of hatred or of thinking ill towards somebody. God does not call everybody to the same ministry. God does not call everybody to the same job in the church. But God has an individual plan and an individual purpose for each one of us. When Joseph's brothers took the flock to Shechem to feed the flock, Jacob sent Joseph to check and make sure everything was okay. Joseph was a faithful, he was 17 years old at the time. Joseph was very faithful to his father. And just so we get this out of the way, we know that Jacob's great-great-grandfather was Abraham, or Joseph's great-great-grandfather was Abraham. His great-grandfather was Isaac. His grandfather, no, I got that wrong. Hold on, let me think this out. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay. Yeah. Great-grandfather is Abraham. Grandfather was Isaac. And father was Jacob. And we know that God always explained himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we know that Joseph's in pretty good company. But he said, "Here am I." God needs some people to step up when we get a burden or we feel like we're called to a certain ministry, or if God calls you to a certain missionary field. We need some people to step up and say, "Here am I," when God calls you, just like Joseph did to Jacob when Jacob said, "Go check on thy brothers." He said, "Here am I." If we don't have people, that get a burden or step up to do a certain ministry, we're going to lose an entire generation, which we're doing right before our very eyes. Just, I would rather have a church of imperfect people that would just step up and do whatever it took to further the kingdom of God and do whatever job necessary and preach the gospel and witness to people or go street preach or whatever it is you got to do just to further the cause of Christ. When his brothers seen Joseph coming, they said, "Behold, here comes the dreamer." They had already hatched a plan to slay Joseph. They said, "We will kill him. Cast him into some pit and say a wild beast devoured him. But remember, the Lord was with Joseph." Reuben delivered Joseph out of their hand and said, "Let's not slay him, just cast him into a pit and we'll take his coat," and say a wild animal had delivered him. Because Reuben had already devised a plan that he would go back and get Joseph and he would bring him back to his father again. But they attacked Joseph. And John Phillips said that they kicked him and choked him and stripped him of his coat, the coat of many colors. And they cast him into the pit. You know, when I read that part where they cast him into the pit, I thought about Psalms 40:2. "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." I have never seen a pit that Jesus couldn't reach down from on high and pull you out of. I've never seen an alcoholic that Jesus couldn't sober up. I've never seen a drug addict that Jesus couldn't break the chains of addiction. I need some people that will say, I might be in a pit, but I'd rather be in a pit than with Jesus, than in the world without Jesus. You won't know peace till you know peace through Jesus. He's wonderful. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the sweet rose of Sharon. He said, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. He was there in the beginning and he's going to be there in the end. He'll take you all the way through. And Joseph's brothers, they suffered from the same sin that we suffer from today. This world has suffered from the same disease since the third chapter of Genesis, when the old serpent deceived Eve and she ate of the forbidden fruit. We can already see how far this sin has taken Joseph's brothers from being in the will of God. Joseph was a lot like Jesus. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But remember, the Lord was with Joseph. And as you read the account of Joseph, I get no impression nowhere that Jesus or that Joseph was ever faltered. I mean, I get no impression where he was depressed. He never nowhere in the scripture did I get the impression that he was ready to give up. They sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver to Egypt. And he had to think that it's all over with. Joseph could have given up, but he had been destroyed mentally, attacked by his brothers. But Joseph was a man in my mind that had God all over him. When I was younger, the old timers used to say about certain preachers or maybe a missionary or maybe a person in the church, they'd say he's got God all over him or he's just got God. Now Potiphar, when he bought Joseph, he seen that the Lord was with Joseph and the Lord made all that he did to prosper. So he made him overseer of his house. And we find in Scripture that the Lord blessed Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. But don't you know any time that the Lord's blessing, like right now, the Lord's blessing Hilltop, we've grown. We baptized Amy today. We're a growing church. But don't you know every time that happens that the devil's going to try and get in there and destroy it? So we got Potiphar's wife. She's an example of a Jezebel spirit when she kept trying to get Joseph to come into her and he ran away that last time, and then she had to lie to cover up her own lust for Joseph. So Joseph gets falsely accused. Again, there is another way that, you know, Joseph, the story of Joseph is a lot like the story of Christ in some ways. So she got falsely accused, or Joseph gets falsely accused. But remember that the Lord was with Joseph. So now Joseph's cast into the prison. And like I said, it's a perfect example of the Christian life. Because he was up when he was with Jacob, and then he's down in the pit. And then he probably thought he was going to stay down, but you know, he's in Potiphar's house, the captain of the guard of the palace in Egypt. So he probably thought this slavery is not so bad after all. But then Potiphar's wife, she hatched her plan, and now he's in the prison. So now he's back down. He thought, boy, God ain't never going to come get me again. I didn't get that impression, though, in the scripture. Because Joseph found favor in the eyes of the prison keeper. Joseph never gave up, because Joseph had great faith in God and trusted God that God would be with him and see him through whatever came against him. I thought of Daniel when I read that. I thought of Daniel when he got put in the lion's den, and Daniel trusted God that he would deliver him. And God sent the angel, and they shut up the lion's mouth. I thought about when the fire was too hot for the three Hebrew boys, but God was in the midst of the flames with them, and the fire didn't singe them at all. And I thought about Jonah when he was in the belly of the great fish, and Jonah repented, and God heard him. In chapter 3 of Jonah starts, with the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I'm glad we serve a God that's not a one and done God. And because of his grace and his mercy of God, we can always come back and lean on Calvary. No matter how far we've run away, we can always come back. When the prodigal son was in the hog pen, and I want to say that my thought on that is sometimes you got to be on the bottom. God put you on the bottom so you can look up to see what you had before you can come back. But anyway, that when the prodigal son was in the hog pit and he said, I think I'll go back to my father, he was already back. So when the butcher and the baker told Joseph their dreams, this is what Joseph said to him. Do not interpretations belong to God? God's the final authority on everything. But oh, to have the faith of Joseph and to believe that God is always with him. And he also let God guide him in everything that he did. So Joseph interpreted their dreams while he was yet in the prison. And all he said is, remember me and mention me to Pharaoh. 3 days later, Joseph's interpretations came to pass. And the butler was restored. And the baker was hanged. But Joseph was a man that I believe walked with God because of his faith. And he knew that the Lord was with him. And now we know, as the story transpires, we've been from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison. And now old Pharaoh, he dreams dreams, two dreams. And all he called all the wise men and all the what he would think, the big thinkers, I guess, there in Egypt. And none of them could interpret the dream. And then here comes along the butler. And he says, hey, when we was in prison, we dreamed a dream. And there's a young man down there that can interpret that for you. Joseph told Pharaoh when he came into it. Well, Pharaoh called for Joseph, and he probably had to get cleaned up, shaved up, looking good. And Pharaoh called for Joseph that God shall give him the answer of peace. That's what Joseph said to Pharaoh. God shall give him an answer of peace. I'm glad that we have a great comforter in the Holy Ghost. You can hide from anybody you want in this world. You can run from God. You can run and hide wherever you want to go, but you can't outrun the Holy Ghost. We have an omnipresent God. That means he's here with us right now. When you leave here, he'll be in the car with you, and he'll be with you at home. And you don't need to worry about tomorrow, because God's already there. He's everywhere all at the same time. And then we know as our story goes on that Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream about the 7 good years of plenty. And then he's followed by 7 bad years of famine. And then as the story goes on, you see that Pharaoh said, "This is a man in whom the Spirit of God is." Like I said, he had God all over him. So Pharaoh put Joseph over his whole house and set Joseph over the land of Egypt and dressed him in fine linen and put a ring on his hand and a gold chain on his neck. Joseph rode in the 2nd chariot. And Joseph ruled in Egypt and prepared them for the things to come. If we have faith and trust Jesus, and we know that the blood he shed on Calvary was sufficient to save us all for all eternity, we too will make it to the palace. Revelation 5:10 says that we shall be made unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So we've been from the pit to the palace, or from the pit to the prison to the palace. And in your life, you trust Jesus. You go from the pit of being lost in your sin. Then you can go. You know, as you go through, everybody's going to try and attack you. And everybody's always going to try and come after the Christian. Like it, when you're working and stuff, they're always trying to attack the Christian. But if we hold the course and we have faith, one day we will be royalty. And another lesson we learned from the life of Joseph is you're either coming out of a storm or you get ready to go back into a storm. But know that the Lord is with us also. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, the Bible is very, very clear that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm glad that it says whosoever, because it's always been a whosoever will. And as we prepare for the musicians, the people to come, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, I'd invite you to do that tonight. I wouldn't even wait for him to start playing the music. I'd be on the altar. Because I believe that Jesus is coming, and I believe he's coming soon. I believe we're closer now than we've ever been. And I believe in revival. And I don't know what it costs for a revival. I don't know. I won't pretend to know anything about none of that. But I know what the cost is to not have revival. I do know that. I mean, there are people in here, you know, you let that one little thing get in your mind. This is how the devil works. He'll let that one little thing get in your mind about the things going on around church. I'm as guilty of it as anybody. I'm a worry wart. But let's not let that one little thing resonate. And then we'll... Because if you let it resonate, you're going to be just like Joseph's brothers. That'll just resonate, and you might, you know, it brings ill feelings, and you might think bad of your brother. Let's just let that one thing go. Maybe revival starts tonight. Maybe we get some people to come on the altar and say, "I don't care what's going on in the world. Maybe our churches need to get our praise back on for once. Maybe we need to quit bowing down to everything that everybody said and everybody's come against us. It's always the church's fault. Always the church's fault. Well, what are you doing with that money? Well, we're being a church. That's what we're being. That's what I tell them. But let's not let that one thing resonate, and let's not cause it to hurt us anymore. I invite you to pray where you are. Come get in the altar. Let's just bring it to God, and let's settle it. It's all level ground at Calvary. He didn't ever say that you can't never come back to Calvary. Jesus said that all those that are burdened and heavy laden, come unto me and I shall give you rest. You won't know peace till you give that one thing over to the Lord. So, I mean, you can, you know, people want to point fingers and this and that. I'm telling you right now, if you take a drink of alcohol, that will not keep you out of heaven. If you smoke a cigarette, that will not keep you out of heaven. If you get a ticket, that don't keep you out of heaven. There's only one thing that keeps you out of heaven, and that's not being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Born again, washed in the blood. You know, I'm going to tell you something, honey. When this old life is over and you're standing before an almighty God, there's only two things. You're only one of two things. You're either saved or you're lost. That's it. That's all it comes down to. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care who your mom and dad is. I don't care who your grandpa was. I don't care about none of that. All that matters is saved or lost. Washed in the blood of Jesus. Pastor.